today they spoke about what is the difference between, you know, just being loving and God's love. How does that translate in a spiritual way in terms of the afterlife and heaven?
Well, he starts saying you had to bring money. How much? You want $25,000. You know, it was an accident and she messed up my drug deal. And I'm like, what the hell?
Wow.
You know what? Sell it out for me.
What we have now, you know, you say, oh, we're living in the best of times, you know, but are we really, are we, you know, is it that we have exchanged comfort for community? And what have we lost as a result of that?
Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun.
This sculpted narrative goes out to all the giants upon whose shoulders I stand. If I can see further, it is only because of their storied vision. Let me begin with Richard Feynman.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Spread Love FM. I am your host, Trev. Thank you for joining me here. Once again, always happy to have you with us, spending some time, that valuable time of yours, to get into some of the love that we have here. And today, we will be reading a passage from Acts 27, just to illustrate the narrative, the cinematic narrative quality of the Bible. Not so much going into the meaning as much as just the compelling storyline that I found when I read this chapter. We'll also be talking about the techno-Faustian. It kind of speaks about the Faustian bargain, which is the deal with the devil that we make for the technology that we receive. So we'll get a little bit into that. And we'll be sharing couple of voicemails from the Spread Love FM hotline. But before we get started, why don't we share a couple of announcements? We have the Spread Love hotline, anonymous voicemail. Leave your voicemail at 347-354-5683. The prompt, finish this sentence. I'm blessed because blank.
I am blessed because I have good friends and family in my life.
Hi, good evening. Hope all is well. This is Spread the Love from Brooklyn, New York. Handsome basketball team. I feel extremely blessed because I'm able to provide opportunities to people to work and take care of their family. I'm a small business owner. I have about 10 to 15 employees, and they're all working and taking care of their family. I think this is a beautiful and amazing thing, and I feel blessed that I'm able to do that. Thanks, and have a wonderful day. Spread the love.
And we're going to continue with this prompt indefinitely because we believe that there are so many people out there with blessings to share. But also, we have the free store, Spread Love FM free store. Meet us at Miguel's. Groceries, hot lunches. Go to spreadlovefm.com. If you are in the Hernando County, Florida area, place an order and you can meet us at Miguel's every Sunday. So scan the code or go to spreadlovefm.com. Also, Shoppers Unite, support our vendors, our local vendors. They are the ones that we are working with to support the free store, to create a sustainable community where shoppers empower vendors and vendors empower community with their sponsorship of the free items on our platform. So make sure you support them. We are working to get better and better discounts, better and better perks for you out there in the community. And finally, we have a new one this week, a podcast that we are launching, MySpace Heroes, the internet before Facebook ruined everything. And it's basically, I went into my archive and I looked at the videos that I had, and I was thinking back to the time how before Facebook, there was this kind of innocent golden age of social media. And MySpace was the first platform that catered to creatives. And the people that I met there and the stories that I have to tell and how it relates to today and the change that was made when Facebook entered the scene, at least entered the scene for people who were not on college campuses. And that story is an interesting one. So we'll be bringing this podcast in the coming weeks to follow that link, follow the podcast. There is a teaser up right now. And in fact, I'm going to share that teaser with you right now. In the summer of 2005, I launched a website called The New Pop Sensation to document artists on video in a world where video was not affordably accessible to the average independent artist. To launch this website, I invited 8 strangers I found on a newish social media platform called MySpace to showcase their artistry in a studio shoot. I called this video MySpace Heroes. In the years following this shoot, I would find a community of artists that would come to define that initial wave of what many years later came to be known as the influencer. We all lived or worked in roughly the same neighborhoods in North Brooklyn, and we all knew each other. We would see each other in the same bars, in the same galleries, on the same streets, at the same shows, shop at the same stores, hook up with the same friends. We were a tight community with one goal: to express or share our art with each other. It was all new, and there was an innocence to it all that defined this golden era of social media. Eventually, people outside our communities started to take notice. Then Facebook came into our world, and everything started to change. Welcome to MySpace Heroes, the story of the internet before Facebook ruined everything. So that was the teaser from MySpace Heroes, the internet before Facebook ruined everything. And follow us. It's going to be a very interesting podcast, and hopefully you could join us, spread the word, let people know. I'm actually we got the Mac, and I actually have Final Cut Pro open on the screen. This is where I did my first edits. Those videos that you saw there, that first one was done on this, took forever. I remember rendering, and we're going to be pulling up all types of archival, vintage, kind of electronic equipment, devices, and show you bonus clips, behind the scenes clips of how it was done back then, because it was not the way it was done now. It took much longer. And so yeah, follow us, follow that series. It's going to be interesting. We'll try to do what we can to bring the story of the internet before Facebook ruined everything. And so that's the main announcements. I want to go into something kind of related to that. I want to read a passage for you. And it's this passage from Jamiroquai, Virtual Insanity, popular song, at least for my generation, 1996. And I didn't realize until now the story of rebelling against technology that was in that song. I even knew the words, but you know, for me, it's about the music, and to hear the words almost as beats. And then sometimes years later, as in this case, almost 20 years later, you start to say, oh, okay, that's what he was saying over 20 years later, right? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I was listening to it the other day, and I saw that this is completely related to what's happening now. And this will lead us into our first segment, the Techno-Faustian, which is the deal that we make with, in my opinion, the devil in order to become to advance our civilization. Modern things that we have, these things that we take for granted, things that we think we need in order to move on as a society and to connect and to produce, without taking into account the harm and the damage that's done with that, the externalities, without taking into account the harm and the damage that it's done to the environment. So, you know, folks may argue that, yes, where would we be without technology? Where would we be without this? And where would we be without that? And this phone and this mode of transportation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But who, and I know there are those who argue the other side of that argument, but, you know, I want to do that here on this platform, because we, of course, are talking about communities and gatherings, and maybe there's a different way to look at how we can connect to each other and using our imagination to envision a different world. And this verse that I'm going to read from Jamar Require is really speaks to that. And I'm thinking, what a mess we're in. Hard to know where to begin. If I could slip the slickly ties that earthly man has made. And now every mother can choose the color of a child. That's not nature's way. Well, that's what they said yesterday. There's nothing left to do but pray. I think it's time I found a new religion. Whoa, it's so insane to synthesize another strain. Something in these futures that we have to be told. Then he goes into the chorus. Futures made of virtual insanity always seem to be governed by this love we have for useless, twisted, modern new technology. Now there is no sound because we all live underground. And yeah, so think of that, you know. And it's even the title, Virtual Insanity, you know, you tie that into virtual reality. You think of the, you know, Facebook tried to create a virtual world, you know, what's the name of Facebook now? I can't even remember it. The metaverse. And that's what virtual insanity. And, you know, people cloning people, you know, let me read it again, you know. And now every mother can't choose the color of a child, and that's not nature's way. And, you know, I see these videos about AI and machine learning and the singularity where machines become self-aware. And, you know, we are speeding towards that because, you know, oh, we have to keep up with China, because who knows what they're doing. And if we don't stay up with them, we will be, you know, maybe we will be the slaves to their machines. And it's just a cycle that we have all put ourselves in. And I think of the alternative. What if we had taken another path from this this desire and this want and this need to always consume and to grow at all costs? What if we had taken a path where we were one with nature and one with our surroundings and, you know, one with God? You know, that's basically what this is saying. You know, this is when they say that's not nature's way, this is not God's way. You know, when man tries to create himself in God's image, you know, that's when we run into problems. And when I say that, when I mean as a God, when man tries to create other men, you know, that's what we are striving for. And the harm that will be done there, that is being done there. And all the other steps leading up to that, you know, with the warming of the planet, global warming, climate change, fighting over land, and not living in God's way. You know, God is love. And something I learned today in my spiritual group, today they spoke about what is the difference between, you know, just being loving and God's love? How does that translate in a spiritual way in terms of the afterlife and heaven? And my initial response was that, you know, even before I had my spiritual awakening recently, that, you know, I considered myself a moral person, and at that time I thought it was enough to whatever afterlife, whatever reward there is for doing good, that, you know, I was qualified to do that, to get that reward. And after my spiritual awakening, I did change. And one of my family members, my cousin, pointed out before I came to the second realization that I did change, that the love is different. The love before I made my change was self-love, love of self, love of material, love of praise, all of these loves that actually does harm. Because when we start thinking of self is when we start thinking of how do we gratify ourselves? How do we gratify our wants? And it becomes about me. And then that's a different kind of love. You could even say, oh, I love my brother and I love my country and fight for those things. But that's not loving your neighbor as yourself, every neighbor. Because then it won't be about us against them. And when my cousin said that, love, the difference in being saved and not being saved is the type of love, love of self versus love of God, it made perfect sense to me, because that's actually what I realized in the months after, the weeks after I had my awakening, which is that this love is unselfish, is that this love is outward. This love is an expression of empathy for your fellow human being. And the Faustian deal that we've made with the devil, what are the prices that we pay when you think about the native and the indigenous people who took care of the planet? Is that life that, you know, on the surface, it appears much worse than what we have now? You know, you say, oh, we're living in the best of times, you know. But are we really, really? Are we, you know? Is it that we have exchanged comfort for community? And what have we lost as a result of that? Oh, yeah, but we're living much longer than we did many years ago. 47 years was the max, and now we're 74 or 70, whatever it is. But who's to say that these same advances or even better advances would not have been made if we were thinking of others and advancing with others in mind as opposed to advancing with self in mind? So I just want to read that and touch on that techno-Faustian topic. I want to actually play a clip. We had a discussion with our family on our WhatsApp, which is another thing separate from our prayer group. But it was about a message that we've got about a relative that's looking for her father. And some of us thought it was, I thought it was a deep fake, artificial intelligence. And some of the folks, most of them were suspicious. Most of the family was suspicious, but I was really suspicious. And I mentioned in that conversation that another one of our cousins, she had a story of a deep fake that almost, you know, got him in a lot of hot water in terms of somebody asking him to come meet him at a place. Anyway, I'm going to share the story now. This is a discussion at one of our other meetings Friday. Well, I meet with my family a lot. Get this back on. And I'm going to share it again, because now he speaks about an incident that happened with a deep fake. And it's very interesting. So here we go.
Did you know I got a call? Daddy, again an accident. Come. You know, and I'm like, what? I'm crying and Calm down. Daddy and I'm asking that. I'm like, and the person want money and da 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 da. I'm like, what? And the person song like my daughter. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I come out. Then the person come on, come on, Walmart, buy me, bring money. How much money you want me bring? Well, I'm here, Shepherd. I ain't walking with no money. I'm coming on there. I ready to go. I say, okay, I'm coming. Let me know. Well, he starts saying, you had to bring money. How much? You want $25,000, you know? It was an accident, and she messed up my drug deal. And I'm like,
wow.
You know what sell it out for me? I said, I want to talk to her. They let me talk to her. Daddy, I love you. I love you. Daddy, I love you. I'm like, who the hell is this? Me and my children don't talk so
much. Wow, that's funny.
And again, so there is an, so I call the cops that they tell me it was a deep fake. And
wow.
Doing that all the time now, you know? And I'm like, well, it sung like her. It did sound like her. But what really threw me is the daddy, I love you, I love you. I said, who's this?
That's hilarious.
We don't go around. I don't talk to my kids like that, you know? We don't really engage in that kind of conversation. I say that to say that common sense is present. You should use it everywhere you go. I don't go into sites that look funky, you know, like, you know, and so I'm always aware that with the good comes a lot more bad.
So there you go. Be careful of the scams. This is, you know, for folks, even folks who are savvy, you know, may not get it, you know, for me. And if I'm not informed about what's happening, I would hear that and, you know, run and, you know, go help my family member. And I saw actually another video where somebody actually did fall for this on the news somewhere. And maybe I'll put that link if I can find it in the show notes. But yeah, so, you know, it's the Faustian, Techno-Faustian. We've made a deal with the devil. You know, this deep fakes is happening with politics. You know, it ties back to the MySpace heroes. You know, a time before Facebook ruined everything. And what are the consequences of that socially? Yeah, technologically, we are more advanced. That's obvious. But what about spiritually? What about socially? So there you go. So just an update on the health journey. So last week I spoke about the cutting back on certain meds, and I had an appointment with my doctor last week. Actually, it was this week. Yeah, this week. And I went to my doctor, and they checked everything out. And based on the fact that I mentioned that I was sometimes have a swelling, like a gland reaction, underneath my tongue, that they said, oh, that may be a side effect of the lisinopril, I think. I'll find out. I have to go back tomorrow. And that, let's try cutting that out. So I cut that out. And I cut that out 2 days ago, and my blood pressure readings were pretty okay. And now it's been 3 days, 2 days, cutting out the lisinopril. And remember, the whole goal is to get off of these meds completely and have my blood pressure be regulated naturally. So 2 days, and the reading as of yesterday, last night, was 93/61, which is very good. The heart is a little tricky there, and I'm actually going to check that out. The heart fluttering seems to be happening a lot, so we'll go check that out as well. The heart reading was normal at my first doctor, but they want to do a more longer monitoring, so we'll go back for that. But anyway, 93/61, and then this morning I got the highest reading that I've had since I guess in the last few months, and that was 140/67, which isn't horrible, but that's a spike. And I have to be aware of what's happening there. So I'm going to take a measurement again tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow I go back to the my doctor and we will check in on that and see if I need to cut back slower or maybe I can't or whatever it is. But that's the first red flag I've gotten that things are not going perfectly smooth. So, you know, let's keep an eye on it. Keep your prayers. Pray for me that this continues to go in the right direction and that things work out. Ba-da-da-ba-da. Okay, so I want to just kind of read a passage from Acts 27:9-22, and I want to share this. This is something I read in my prayer group. I wanted to share this because it is just kind of really shows that this Bible is a novel, that with all the negative connotation that may come with it, the baggage, that at its core, it's one of the best told stories in the history of man. And it is the top selling book ever, right? So that speaks for something. But I never kind of realized this firsthand. You know, it was kind of read to me when I was a young lad before I left the church. And even then I wasn't a reader. I didn't read the books. I think I read my first book. I was a teenager or alive. My first book was Alive. I remember that story. I spent a whole day and I read it in one day. Anyway, so I wasn't a reader up until that book. You know, every book I read was a textbook or a magazine or a comic book. Yeah. Oh man, I loved comic books, but the Bible, get that away from me. That was the attitude. But now reading it in my reawakening, I really see, man, this is a compelling book. And I want to read a couple of chapters just to illustrate that part of it. Now, this is Acts 27:9-22. It's basically Luke has been arrested because he is evangelizing the neighbors in, I can't remember which city, so I'm not, you know, still not versed as well as I should be. I'm not even close to being versed as well as I should be in the Bible, but it's kind of besides the point in terms of which city. But the idea is, the story is that Luke was evangelizing non-believers and the establishment, the religious establishment, arrested him and put him on trial. And if he was found guilty, he would have been sentenced to death. So it got kicked up the chain from a local issue up to what would be, as my relatives describe it, the equivalent of the Supreme Court in Athens, Greece. And so they painted a picture of, imagine how this case of Luke and his trial compared to what's happening today would be like the OJ case, you know, a world where all the eyes are on this case. And I remember that OJ case, and that was something that was riveting every day. It was must watch TV. So just imagine that this. So Luke, now in prison, is being sent from local courts to the Supreme Court in Athens. And he's being sent by ship to this other location. And now, but there's an issue because they are set to set sail when at the end of the sailing season and into the winter or the storm season. And I just want to share this passage of what happened, what happened after, at that moment. So I'm going to try to do it in my dramatic reading voice. Acts 27:9-22. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also. If by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after. A tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. By the way, you could check that on the Wikipedia. It's an actual regular storm system that comes through. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." That's Acts 27, 9 to 22. If you want to hear how this story ends, pick up a Bible and read it. It's very, very, very compelling, very cinematic. I could just picture this as a movie. Ridley Scott, the wind and the rain beating against the ship, and the men clinging to their lives, throwing ropes underneath the ship to hold it together. And all along, this prisoner warning them, letting them know that they should not have followed, they should not have taken sail. So see how that story ends. Acts 27, 9 to 22. Yeah, so that's it for this week. Thank you for joining me. Hopefully you have found some value in this episode. And remember to say hello to your neighbor. Remember that love is a verb, that it requires action to have any meaning. So until next time, thank you so much. Follow us, subscribe, tell a friend, and we'll see you next week.
This microphone and these speakers are designed to amplify my voice, but why me? I have no simple answer. All I can say is, I believe anyone with something to say should be given a chance to speak.